This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Live and Learn. I'm Chua Antik. The United Nations estimates that 80% of people living with autism are not in the workforce. And The Economist describes this wasted human potential as a tragic human toll. Joining me today to talk about how Malaysia can play its part to change this is Felina Faisal, Chair of the National Autism Society of Malaysia. And joining her is Dr. Hajah Wasita Haji Mohamad Yusof, Director General of the Youth Skills Development Division at the Ministry of Youth and Sports. Thank you for being here.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Felina, if I can begin with you. So many are either unemployed or underemployed. In Malaysia, why is this the case? Is it a case of the education system leaving behind people who do not fit the system that we currently have for them in terms of education and their job prospects?
As you said just now, 80% of the work are underemployed. In Malaysia, I would say almost 99.9% are underemployed. It's not the education, it's not the system, it's not anything. It's perhaps the understanding of autism. People with autism are different. They learn differently. And unfortunately, because of that, they're not given to their true potential. And if they were to go through normal school system, that means they come in at standard one and finish at form five, most of them will be under the special education system, of which a lot of their needs are not answered or looked at. So they might not even pass with an SPM certification. Without an SPM certification, they can't continue. They can't go to universities, colleges or whatever. And without that, they can't even get a job. So at the end of the day, most of them end up just staying at home.
Right. And special needs school, they do not make accommodations in terms of each child's unique needs?
Special needs education, the ones that we have here, is designed to be inclusive. But what has happened is most of the syllabus is basically towards the ones physically disabled. The ones who are like autism, Down syndrome, mentally disabled, or should I say intellectually disabled, their needs are very different because their needs, each person learn differently. So unfortunately, we do not have the workforce to tackle each person differently.
So Dr. Wasita, if I can come to you, as Felina mentioned, it's a double whammy of lost human potential because they're sitting at home and not contributing, even if they want to, as well as they inflict costs on caregivers who have to maybe take time off or pay for expensive care. At your division, Youth Skills Development, you have a TVET track or a TVET option, Technical and Vocational Education and Training. Tell me about this program and how it came to be.
We actually so used to the using the connotation of skill training. Skill training within the Ministry of Youth and Sports has always have a place in terms of complementing the whole big picture of youth development itself, because we're talking about promoting self-development, youth character building, and it will eventually inclusive of building not only on the social part of the youth, but also on the skill part, so that it actually really carry the meaning of the philosophy brought by the National Youth Policy of Malaysia itself, that say the mission of the ministry is to come up with or to develop youth to their best potential, and to be as holistic to complement physical, mental, social, and of course, eventually economic development. So that is where actually skill training is at. And when we're talking about youth development in terms of skill training and how it developed into the big picture of technical vocational education training, is because skill training cannot just accommodate the original objective of the national youth policy itself, which say that skill is just enough to cover youth in terms of their talent, building up their talent, hobby, but not moving into accommodating to the need of the nation building, especially when talking about economy and building the economy and also meeting the need of the industries, the job demand, and as how our youth fulfill the demand and how competent and how demanding their skill can be to be competing in the global market. So in terms of workforce and everything. So the beginning of actually skill training and the emphasis of skill training within the Ministry of Youth and Sports started as early as 1964 with our first project with the Institute Kemahiran Malaysia Dusun Tua. That's how we start. And now we have about 22 skill training institute, which covers 13 technologies areas to be covered. And this is where when we start looking into the national youth policy and how the policy have to evolve to be more inclusive. So we are looking into expanding the skill into meeting the demand of the nation for workforce. So it go along with actually working seriously with the Human Resource Ministry to look into the curriculum, the certification, and also, of course, to look into how much the technology that we offer in terms of the type of skill offered and the learning thing that the youth will go into will go and fit into the nation needs. So building up skill to fulfill the need of youth has become so inclusive now because we carry the philosophy of the youth policy now that no one should be actually denied on their learning opportunity, especially on skill, because we know that skill is needed for every the skill needed by youth, of course, will cover not only the technology skill but also the soft skill. So when talking about target group that we are reaching into with youth with autism, so that's why we start talking to not only the industry that actually now covers the policy of inclusivity, but also to the NGOs that have that actually really fight and struggle and also be in a position to support the society with autism. But for us in the ministry, it is about youth with autism. So we start building up the relationship, and also this is a very pioneer project for us. We just started actually embarking into youth with autism, and we just started with actually having the concept of authentic learning and offering only to a field of skill.
Authentic learning.
Authentic learning is just a method of doing things, so that we'll be very open when we have them in the learning. We'll make sure that the environment and also the facilities and also the way we actually provide the environment with a body approaching them is really suit for this kind of group. So we're not going to actually mix them. That's why we come up with this authentic learning concept, so that we'll have the environment just for them and give priority to the type of skill that they really need and they can actually suit to it, because you can hear that how different they are. That's why autism spectrum condition is something that really suit to address them, so that we can tailor-made everything for them. So since this is very new also experience for us in terms of planning it and also executing it.
Right. Yeah. Dr. Wazita mentioned the differences. Maybe I can get you to help us clear some of these popular conceptions, integrating or assimilating individuals living with autism into the workforce. Would there be a disruption? You know, can they socialize? Would they make people feel awkward or weird? In terms of, we have a solution now, like TVET, to give them skills training. What stands in the way of employers taking on this wholesale?
Autistic people, or should I wouldn't say autistic, people with autism, sorry, I have to be very careful. People with autism, they are very special. because each and every one of them are individually different. If I could perhaps give an example, they are as straight as a poker. They cannot take double entendres, you know, like saya berumah tangga. As far as they're concerned, you have a rumah, you have a tangga, you're not married. Right. You see? So that's what I mean. So never ask them, how do I look today? Because they will really tell you how you look today. So that's where they do not have social skills. They speak as they see. Mm-mm. But you see, because of this, perhaps it'll be a bit uncomfortable. And if that's the way they're so used to doing it, let's say they follow timing to the rigidity of time. If they're supposed to start at 8, they're supposed to start at 8. If for any reason that it's at 8:05, you know, they'll mention it. They'll get angry and they get annoyed because they don't understand why, if you've written 8 o'clock to start, it should be starting at 8. So because of this rigidity, that's where their social skills come down. But because of this rigidity, they can do very well in workforce. You know? I mean, you could do something, for instance, you know, data production or data management. For us, the normal, I wouldn't say normal, but for us, we can find it really, really tedious and boring. But to them, it's something that they want to do because that's what they are doing. The biggest misconception about them is that they do not feel or they do not understand how people feel, but they do. It's just that expression is difficult. If you could imagine 100% input, but almost just 20% output. So that's how they are.
Yeah, exactly.
You'd like to add something before I go into the break?
Yeah. Going back to the why we actually started our newborn baby for the skill training for youth with autism, with authentic learning, it's actually due to that condition. Because, like, you know, when, you know, learning Tibet is like they have, we have to make them used to the standard operating procedure. Yeah. And this is where the problem lies. Yeah. But this is also a big plus for them because youth with autism is a person who is actually very structured. They are very structured, task making, if you have the standard operating procedure for them. So it's really that something they can actually follow step by step through. They will follow exactly. So that's why when we actually started with giving them skill in culinary, like for baking and pastry, and teach them the social skill while they are actually doing learning for doing business, handling people, this is what we found out, that they will follow exactly, and if we just keep one thing, that will mess the whole thing. Yeah, you will have to handle their personality after that.
Yes.
Yeah.
We'll come back and find out more about how the types of skills and courses that the Skills Training Institute that Dr. Wasita mentioned is training people living with autism. I'm speaking today to Felina Faisal and Dr. Haja Wasita Haji Muhammad Yusuf about TVET for people living with autism. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9. Welcome back. You're listening to Live and Learn. I'm Trot and Tick. We're talking today about the employability of adults with autism. Felina Faisal is the chair of the National Autism Society of Malaysia, and Dr. Haja Wasita Haji Muhammad Yusof is the Director General of the Youth Skills Development Division at the Ministry of Youth and Sports. Dr. Wasita, so we left off with you describing the mission of TVET at your ministry.
Mm-hmm.
22 Skills Training Institute today. What are the two causes that you are specializing or you are focusing on at the moment?
For the youth with autism, culinary and ICT.
ICT.
Yeah.
Is there a reason why you decided to start with these two industries?
Yeah, we start with actually brainstorming the idea with NASOM and also some specialists, some people who are specializing. They are researcher, they are actually a doctor and also psychologist in that. So we thought that with the limit, the reason is only because it's the first time we are actually offering the course the course for youth with autism. So we have to be very careful about the first, because it's something that can match that, the skill that, something that can match their ability, one thing. But also looking into the limitation of what we have. I mean, some of the challenges is also that we want to start offering this fast, and we do not want to actually be facing any obstacle or any reason from the infrastructure side or maybe funding side. Or even I think there is no point for us to do and wait for the coming 5 years for the next Rancangan Malaysia ke 11 ke, for the RMK to have a specific funding for that. That's why we choose this only two field, and then a field that we felt that they can really perform, and this is something that accommodate their inner feeling about hobby, something that they are very close at and they can handle it. Like we mentioned about autism spectrum condition has many level, like mentioned before, and every individual facing this situation will be different from others. So we thought that ICT and also culinary is the best. This is something that we can offer because we have the expert. We have the school already actually built for that, and all we have to do is just to start with modifying, doing some renovation and modifying the environment for the workshop to happen. So we thought to start it as soon as possible. And with the help of NASOM, we also have to look into building, developing a specific curriculum for them within the time that actually just suit enough for the whole curriculum to cover and suit them. The limitation of the parents also, because they need also parents and their buddy to be with them when there is a learning, and they need to actually go out from their own space at home to go to the college. So within our limitation, we have our existing college which cater that in Sepang and also in Dusun Tua, nearer to the ministry. So that's why we choose that two course with the existing lab, and we just have to actually work with some private entities to get them involved and to sponsor certain things for the equipment, for the workshop, and also the content of the environment, to have this one start as soon as possible.
Felina, I understand that this program is for kids who are 17 and above. Is that too late, perhaps? Because some might not even have the opportunity to complete their schooling.
Because this is our first venture together, we do not know what the response will be like. And we would rather have people coming in or applying for those who have actually finished Form 5 or at least Form 3. You see, so we could bring it down to 15, but because this is something that's really very new, and I would think a lot of the people with autism, the children with autism, they would have come to a certain behavior level or a certain skill by the time they're 17. Yeah? Meaning, if they had been in school, they would know that they have to sit, that what classes are like, how to respond to teachers, how to go toilet themselves and things like that. So if we were to take people younger, perhaps the ability to take instructions not be as good. And as Dr. Wasita said, culinary and ICT, basically because NASOM has its own vocational centres. We have done training to youth, and we found that culinary, because everything follows a step. To bake, for instance, you have a recipe. You know, 200 gram of flour will be 200 gram of flour. Will not be 195, nor 205. You see, and the kneading of the dough will be exactly the same. the resting period of the dobi exactly the same. If you're ever to come over to our centres, you will find our robotic chefs. Sorry to call them robotic chefs, but because they do it exactly the same way. So each muffin looks exactly the same. It's like a machine has done it. So we find that bit, if we could get more youth to come up. And, you know, sometimes kids who stay at home, they need to have to do something to know, hey, I can do something. Show to their mom, dad, parents, relatives, I baked this. That sense of achievement, which everybody feels, they feel it too. So if we could start with something basic like cooking, whether it is just to mix the dough or whether it's just to do the measurement, do it step by step, they would have actually done much better than just staying at home.
Dr. Wazita, how has the reception been? Did demand far outstrip supply in the number of places you have?
You mean the response from the youth?
Mm.
Yeah. To date, since we actually launched the program in April, we have about close to 300 young people responded, and they are actually eagerly waiting to be interviewed, interviewed and placed, put into placement for these two type of skill. So having strategic partnership with NASOM, we listen more to NASOM because yes, true that NASOM within within the NGOs, you know, they have a very long history when they start the project. So I think they are the best actually spokesperson for us to tell us about the trend of their liking. And actually the children and the parent, they are actually the most excited one. They are waiting for us to actually do the interview and place them. But because we actually planned the program to be delivered somewhere September. So, we have to take into consideration for the infra and also for the workshop to be ready. So, we have to really stagger the time for them to just nice the interview and then it directly actually place them for those who are already suitable for going for the course. Participate in the course.
You know, one of the criticism of TVET in Malaysia is that we've done the training, but then matching the talent to the employers is the next step that we perhaps didn't think through. Can TVET be led by employers rather than, you know, from people like yourself, NASOM, and the ministry instead of employers? What are the feedbacks that you're getting from employers who, as Dr. Wazita alluded to, will be interviewing graduates from this institute?
If we're talking about workforce within the autism community, so Gamuda has started a very strong enabling academy. So they actually bring in or interview youth with autism. But of course, these are the ones who are on a higher ability. So these are the ones who finish universities or with diplomas, and they would place them. Yeah? So what they do is they bring in these people for interview and they place them. I think they've already placed more than 20 within the industry, within Gamuda itself and with other industries. Then you take the other end of the spectrum. Maiden has started that too with the ones with the lower ability. So they take the youth in, they train the youth. It could be something simple as just folding clothes. So the child, or I would say the person, is folding clothes at the back store and just piling them up. Or, you know, they're very good at shelf handling, because if somebody were to take out one thing from the shelf, they immediately replace them. So things like that. So we already have that. But there's nothing in between. You see? One is almost menial. The other one is almost like an office staff. So what we are trying to do, of course, we have to thank the Malaysian KBS for this, is we're trying to get the ones in between who we can train. And look, if you are doing culinary, it's so easy to work. There's so many bakeries. You don't need to talk to people. You just need to bake.
Yeah? Very specific.
Yeah. Restaurants and fast food chains.
Exactly. And ICT, we're lucky to have corporates coming in. You know, they are giving us help. They are training our youth. And hopefully once they've passed the training, they could work with these people. So the workforce is very, very encouraging. I mean, if you could imagine, we have done some work with GSC Cinemas. And GSC Cinemas, every year, every April, which is our month of autism, they would release a movie, something to do with autism, and they'll collect money and they'll, you know, donate very generously to NASOM. So through all that work with GSC, they have taken in a youth with autism. So sometimes it's you know, collaboration, telling them, you know, what autism is all about, opening their eyes, you know. I mean, GSC came up with a hashtag, break the stigma, you know. And the other hashtag they use is also autistic children are not broken. So, you know, things like this, it's awareness more than anything else.
And you have been involved in a film that was very successful about children and parents who are living with autism. I'll end with this, Dr. Wasita. You both will be speaking at the Autism Initiative Malaysia's symposium this weekend, July 13 and 14, at the JW Marriott Hotel in Kuala Lumpur. What would be your message to people listening who would like to help but don't know how, or parents who have kids with autism and would like to know more about this? Maybe I can get you to leave a message for them and could come and see you and find out more during the symposium.
Yeah, we really appreciate the space given by Autism Initiative Malaysia together with Felina as the president of NASOM through this seminar, because as a first-time newborn baby for us, and some more government entity who's actually started this, that came from really a government project, we really need to speak out also to our future partners, stakeholders, just like what we're doing in offering the 13 technologies via our TVET education, that government, parents, society, and also NGOs really need a support from the industries. So much like just now you mentioned about, if we are actually eager to speak and people out there does not know what we are doing, how could actually the offering do happen?
Right.
Yeah. So similar to like Felina said, that somebody need to speak up, somebody need to listen. So we actually posing the message that that we can share this humble beginning of programs that we are offering our youth out there, our youth with autism, on this very first initiative, so that we can be able to actually further elaborate what kind of the need from the employer or specifically to the industry out there, so that we can actually table to actually fulfill the gap. And eventually the gap will be a big opportunity awaited by the youth with autism, because that will give them and allow us to achieve our objective in building up not only a talent of pool for them to build their confidence, but to make their parents feel okay or actually feel that government is doing something to make their children also unleash their talent and become part of the useful citizen. This gives big hope to them. That's the message that we want to give.
Felina, any final message you'd like to leave before we head into the conference?
Oh, yes, please. You see, the biggest misconception and myth, because people do not know what autism is all about. You know, as far as everybody's concerned, a lot of them think it's only children. Yeah? NASOM has been around 31 years. Our youngest in our centres is 2.5. Our oldest is 39. So it doesn't go away. It's one of those lifelong, invisible disorders. So if anyone out there who's willing to come in and help together with the government and NASOM, you know, we'll gladly, you know, meet them. And I think what is more important is, if you look in the world, you said 80% underemployed. Malaysia's 99.9%. But what a lot of people don't realize, it's 1% of our population. Autism affects 1% of our population. So if you calculate 300,000, of which perhaps, you know, 100,000 are children, can you imagine there's 200,000 youth and adults out there who need your help? Mm. So that's what it's... Hopefully we can do this together.
Yeah. And I watched the film Radar, if you haven't, because there's nothing like a film that can, I guess, break the ice and start a conversation about any issue. So as mentioned, Autism Initiative Malaysia's first symposium happening this weekend, July 13 and 14 at the JW Marriott Hotel. If for more information about ticketing and the sessions and the topics that will be discussed, you can visit the AIM page on Facebook. Dr. Wasita and Felina, thank you very much today for coming on the show.
You're welcome.
You've been listening to Live and Learn, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.